some area schools received several significant safety threats following the Parkland, Florida shooting, where 17 people were killed. For this week's Friday Forum, WNIJ's Katie Finlan talks with school and law enforcement officials about how they plan to communicate with the public about such threats from here on out.
And again, thank you for coming out.
Finlan School's Superintendent Todd Layden hands the microphone over to another school official during a recent community school safety forum. The event was mainly to give parents of students in those schools an opportunity to ask school officials about safety protocols and what's to come. Some parents also expressed their concern about current communication outreach practices during recent incidents. Matt Beck, who has children attending Finlan Schools, came to the meeting.
The impetus was, I've read a lot of stuff about the Parkland shooting and how threats against schools go up after a threat. So I was just curious, how many threats have been made against our schools? And the only way we could get that answer was through FOIA.
Beck says that when he submitted that Freedom of Information Act request, he was expecting information on two instances where ammunition was found in the high school. Instead, he said, he got information about three.
School never communicated a third threat against the school that was made on social media by a student in Caneland.
Beck says he was concerned about that third documented threat not being as widely communicated with Caneland High School parents as the two other known events.
If they don't say anything, if they don't tell me about a threat, they take away my ability to protect my child. You know, if a threat is made against the school on Friday, I might not want to send my kid to school on Monday, no matter what they think of it. And if I don't know, I can't make that decision.
You know, if there's an incident with a student, whether or not they think it's important, I might feel differently, and I should be able to make that decision.
Ava Tate, who also attended the meeting, has a child in the middle school who will be a high school student next year. She says she is paying attention now to how the high school communicates with parents about threats to the school. Tate says she works in healthcare, and she more than understands how some information about student suspects has to be kept confidential.
But, you know, you can give enough detail about something where a person can feel confident in what you're saying without disclosing things that shouldn't be shared.
Caneland Superintendent Todd Layden says the usual communication approach during an incident is to send a couple of statements and text messages to parents to reassure them that the situation is under control. Layden says the district's number one priority is student and staff safety, which is why there isn't such a heavy emphasis on providing live updates for parents for every incident. He says parents are more likely to hear from their children before they would hear from the school district in the heat of the moment. Layden says he thought the Community Safety Forum was constructive and that it was useful to hear the concerns of parents all in one place, especially when it comes to providing information to parents on specific safety threats.
What we'll try to do is communicate specifically on each one as opposed to just a standard response that's always going to be the same because each situation might be slightly different.
These concerns aren't present in just Caneland schools. Parents also expressed concern about communication practices when a threatening message was written on a bathroom stall at Stillman Valley High School.
Issuing any type of statement before you have all the facts is always dangerous, and it could be misleading and could lead to additional panic. And so it's a very touchy situation that we take on a case-by-case scenario.
That's PJ Capozzi, who is superintendent for the Meridian School District, which includes Stillman Valley High School. He says the school has never been in lockdown outside of drills, and he says responses to each threat need to be handled individually.
I think that it's a mixed bag, and if we would have gone on lockdown and immediately called everyone and let them know, then the parents that were able to come to school to take their children and feel safer about that would not have had access to their kids, and they would have been dealing with a different outcry.
Capozzi says there's always something to learn from each incident, and there's always a gap in each crisis response scenario. He says that, ultimately, he doesn't regret the decisions made between school officials and law enforcement in overall crisis response for the Stillman Valley High School incident. But Capozzi says he doesn't blame parents for being vocal about their concerns regarding the incident or parents pulling their children out of school because of the threat. The common theme is that schools work with local law enforcement to determine the best course of action to keep everyone in the building safe. They also work together to determine what specific information to release at what time regarding a threat. Craig Woodruff is a DeKalb Police Department commander. He says the police chief usually works hand-in-hand with school officials in determining how credible a threat is, along with how and when to notify families and the general public about large-scale safety concerns.
Heaven forbid we ever have an active shooter here in DeKalb again. Those are a simpler way to respond because it is lock everything down, everybody goes. It is a massive response. And as far as alerting the public, it's a little bit easier because it's very simple.
Woodruff says it gets a little harder to figure out the best course of action for more ambiguous threats, like one recent bomb threat targeting DeKalb schools. He says school and police officials treat every threat like a real one until investigators are positive it's not. School safety threats aren't necessarily limited to bombings or school shootings, he says. For instance, there was a police standoff with a man who had guns and ammunition in a DeKalb neighborhood. Woodruff says that neighborhood happened to be close to a middle school.
The school district put out the message to the parents of the school that Clinton Rosette was going to be locked down and how to pick up your kids. We actually changed the manner to pick up kids that day so that everything was on the back side of the building in a very controlled manner. Until we got it resolved so that we could make sure that the kids were coming out, the kids were being safe. We didn't want to send a kid just walking home right past our problem area.
And Woodruff says communication goes both ways when it comes to keeping a safe and watchful community.
In my career, I cannot tell you how many people have apologized for calling the police or how many people have, hey, I don't want to bother you. You're not bothering us. This is what we do, and we need the public to keep their eyes open and call us whenever they see anything suspicious.
What the school and law enforcement officials are saying is that the safety of students and others is most important, even though every situation is different. The only constant is that they will work together to achieve that goal. I'm Katie Finlen.